Is it in Facebook's interest to stop people from playing fast and loose with user data, even given the scandal over how Facebook was used to help the Trump campaign? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's now the Wednesday after the weekend. The story broke that a data mining company used Facebook to try to manipulate voters in favor of Donald Trump's presidential campaign. And yet, the two top people at the social media company have yet to speak publicly. A Facebook town hall-style Q&A with employees is scheduled for Friday, when one would expect CEO Mark Zuckerberg and COO Sheryl Sandberg to take questions. My colleague, Marketplace tech host Molly Wood, says it'll be interesting to see if Facebook offers actions to go with any words.
There are concrete steps that Facebook could take to make people feel better, right out of the crisis management handbook. Offer a dashboard that tells people where their data is. Let people delete data from their servers directly and show them that it's deleted. Let them opt out of targeted advertising the way you can on, for example, Apple iPhones. But the company won't do any of that, and it's because that's where the money is. And that just creates this ongoing cynicism about the company's response.
Facebook has launched an internal investigation into what it sees as the misuse of its data by Cambridge Analytica, a UK-based data firm that's now suspended its CEO. And now the U.S. Federal Trade Commission is looking into all this. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
This isn't the first time Facebook has been in the FTC's crosshairs. Facebook ended up signing a consent decree in 2011 after the FTC accused it of deceiving consumers by telling them they could keep their information on Facebook private and then allowing it to be shared and made public. Facebook didn't admit guilt in signing the consent decree, but it did agree to get users consent before sharing their data beyond their privacy preferences. The consent decree carries the force of law. Facebook would have to pay penalties of up to $16,000 for each violation of the decree. In 2012, the FTC fined Google about $22 million after accusing Google of misrepresenting privacy guarantees for users of Apple's Safari browser.
Nancy, thank you. Now, the Fed is going to raise interest rates today, according to much expert opinion. U.S. stock index futures are mixed at the moment. And there's an early milestone today in part of the new tax law that aims at lifting up poor parts of the country. Today's the initial deadline for states to nominate opportunity zones, which will try to draw private investment. Marketplace's Ryan Kyloth reports.
Maybe you've heard this one before. Need to attract investors? Try low taxes. Steve Glickman of Economic Innovation Group helped design the new program, which offers capital gains incentives to invest in opportunity zones. Say you just made $1 million in the stock market.
If you roll over that capital into an opportunity fund, then you don't have to pay that tax for 9 years.
But wait, it gets better. Use that money to buy an abandoned warehouse, say, and turn it into condos. 10 years later, you can sell the building tax-free. The dream of the Opportunity Zone, Glickman says, is...
You've taken a bunch of communities in decline, and in 2027, those communities have seen big turnarounds.
The reality, says SUNY Albany professor Tim Weaver, is...
They just don't make much difference at all in terms of increased number of jobs or businesses or decreased levels of poverty.
Weaver says similar programs have been tried for nearly 40 years with little success. Yes, the people who built the condos make money, but the poor people the program was meant to help often don't. In New York, I'm Ryan Kyloth for Marketplace.
We're just talking about the big tax overhaul. Among the surprises there is that somehow Republicans left in the tax credit for electric cars in America, which brings us to Norway, where government data show that more than half the new cars sold there were either all electric or hybrid models. That's compared to about 3% in the U.S. Reporter John Lawrenson has the story.
Driving out of Oslo in the evening rush hour with EV owner Jürgen Gilberg.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, we can see the traffic is almost on a standstill, and
You are swishing down the bus lane.
Yeah, this is totally illegal for EV cars.
It feels a bit naughty, doesn't it?
It is. Yeah, it does.
Gilberg didn't have to pay sales tax on his $117,000 Model X Tesla. EVs are tax-free. so it was no more expensive than a low-end gas-run family car with the hefty tax. And he says running on electricity rather than gas is 5 times cheaper. An EV driver glides into a tunnel below the fortress in the centre of Oslo, opening the gate with a free smartphone app. Sture Portvik is head of electric mobility at Oslo City Hall.
It's actually, I think, the first parking garage for EVs only in the world. It's free of charge. So you are parking for free, you have free electricity, so it's a very strong incentive.
But some are unhappy. Sound from a video of a protest last November against a 74% increase in the toll charge on gas and diesel cars for entering and leaving Oslo, posted on social media by the organiser Cecily Lingby.
So I'm climbing into your car.
I interview her in her gas-powered, obviously, Mini. EVs are problematic for many people, she says. Like, you can't charge up at home if you live in an apartment block rather than a house with a garage.
The rich people in Oslo now, they have electric cars for downtown, driving to the toll roads for free, and the poor people, they can't afford it.
Norway says it'll stop selling gas and diesel cars altogether by 2025. In Oslo, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And we don't have an official religion, but the English do, and the Church of England will soon let people donate without ever touching an offering basket. Contactless offerings via a swipe of the smartphone. The Swedish payments company called iZettle calls this naturally a match made in heaven. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.